Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 30th of July, recording at 9:16 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, the highlights on another interesting day, although different in tone from what we were seeing last week. The Asian stock markets, a bravura performance in the face of what had happened on Wall Street and also in Europe on Friday. Most of the Asian markets were steady in here today, and China has hit another new all-time high, so it's extending a breakout, but it looks like a breakout from a trading range. And the European markets started down pre-market on futures, then moved up, then moved down, then moved up, kept seesawing in here today, closed mostly unchanged. Wall Street's interesting because Wall Street had been down for a while and then scored late-ish in the day some pretty good gains in the last hour and closed out with at least 4/5 of those gains intact, leaving the Dow up 92, nearly 93, and the S&P 500 up nearly 15. That would be just over 1%. And the NASDAQ Composite Index up 21. And government bonds, against that background, well, the European bond futures were slightly firmer, and the U.S. futures eased against the background of that Wall Street rally. The U.S. dollar eased in here today. Remember that had some pretty explosive short covering last week. Precious metals affirmed. Gold bullion is currently up 380 at 665. And silver had a reasonably good day, up 24.5. to the close for the September contract, and platinum up slightly, but it started off the day weak, and palladium up a little bit. Industrial metals mostly firmer, except for lead, which you may recall I said that I felt 3,500 was enough on several occasions. And that appears to be the high, and it's been falling on an almost continuous daily basis, suggesting to me that the medium-term correction has commenced, but tin is the strong one in here right now. And crude oil has had a quiet day for a change, down 28 cents as I speak, but natural gas is stronger, up 327 ticks. It's taken the first month position to 6.53. Okie doke. So what's going on here overall? Well, I was certainly last week describing what we were seeing as a correction. I said that this had morphed into a correction from a larger reaction. And in most markets, we have definitely seen a larger reaction than we saw back in February. Not with all of them. The Asian markets, some of them have barely blinked. Some of them haven't blinked at all, such as China. So in terms of a correction, we're really talking about Europe and the USA, which is really quite interesting. Now, some of the high-flying resources markets experienced some sharp downward dynamics last week. I'm thinking of Brazil and Mexico, but they experienced upward dynamics in here today, and they were also up on Friday. So pick your description here, either a largish reaction as part of the mean reversion process, or a medium-term correction, which would be more serious in that it would almost certainly be deeper and take longer for the markets to recover. I think it's somewhere between those two, but certainly all we've seen in Asia, ex-Japan, where the banks had been the key weak lead indicator, just like in Europe and just like in the USA. But the rest of Asia, it's only seen a small reaction, which pales into insignificance on the weekly charts. Now, a really interesting point is that I can't believe the amount, well, I can believe it because I see it, the amount of bearish copy, really bearish, scary copy that has crossed my desk. Some of it from notable types, notable for their experience, notable for their eloquence, notable for their intellects. Of course, that doesn't mean that they don't get carried away and overreact. We're all prone to that. And it's not a matter of IQ, it's a matter of emotion. So, could we have so many high-profile bears at the top? Well, the ones who are making the most noise are, of course, focusing their arguments almost entirely on what's taking place in the US. Now, it was fashionable a couple of years ago to talk about China's bubble and how it was going to collapse, and a few high-profile people did just that. The rest of us just got on with the mundane business of increasing our investments in China and other markets in the region. Now, so we have this extraordinary situation where so many commentators are focused on the US, and their concern is genuine and it's valid. I've been calling the US, I've been saying sadly that the US is much, much higher risk than it really should be. But where I think these bears are going to be wrong here, I don't doubt that the US will underperform. It'll underperform in real terms, if not in nominal terms, and it'll probably underperform in both. But I don't see the recession coming, partly because of the strength of the overall global economy. And I think that the Fed would certainly move to offset any kind of sustained credit crunch. We've seen them do it before, a sustained credit crunch with the economy moving along rather slowly would serve no one's interests. They're certainly capable of alleviating a credit crunch. So if need be, they'll supply the liquidity. And the dollar will take it in the neck, and they won't really mind that, despite what Hank Paulson says. Incidentally, as a relevant digression, I believe it was Paulson who, before he knew he was going to be nominated as U.S. Treasury Secretary, in the position he now holds, of course, that he had been one of the big advocates for a weaker dollar, saying that it was absolutely essential that the U.S. had a weaker dollar. Well, yes, you didn't need to be a genius to see that. But when we hear Henry Paulson saying, as he was last week, that first and foremost, I always favor a strong dollar, that's part of the political rhetoric. That is not a heartfelt view, in other words. So, again, politicians, just like central bankers, are in the business of managing expectations much of the time. And we need to be able to read between the lines here. Now, one of the points I want to make is that, yes, the situation in the US is serious. We've seen what, something like 40% of the GDP growth. These are statistics that I pick up from other people. I'm in no position to calculate this, but I've seen the statistic so often that it must have some credibility that in recent years that 40% of the S&P's growth has come from financial companies pushing around pieces of paper. And now some of those pieces of paper are going belly up. And that's a frightening proposition in terms of the U.S. economy being so dependent on the financial sector. And we know that financial sectors are certainly prone to excesses. And we know that one of those excesses is that the lending banks were operating like investment banks, and they weren't evaluating loans on the basis of the creditworthiness of the borrower. They were evaluating them on the basis of who they could flog the securitized debt obligations to. So there's a breakdown there, obviously, in the system, and that's not healthy. But, you know, today, I don't think that a few thousand investment bankers and hedge fund managers, say that again. Today, I don't think that a few thousand investment bankers and hedge fund managers run the financial world. And I'm looking at a global economy that is purring along quite smoothly, inevitably with some inflationary pressures, but they're not out of control. And where I'm investing, I don't see any credit crunch coming. So I'm talking about Asia, I'm talking about the resources markets. I think that all looks pretty healthy. So I think we're getting a degree of disconnect here. Wall Street still casts a very long shadow here. We do still have the Wall Street leash effect, but China, which was always the one that was going to uncouple, if any market uncoupled, has done so. And I think investors in a lot of these other countries are sort of looking at Wall Street and going, oh my God. And then they look at China and they say, well, look at that. Things are going really rather well there. And then they say, well, what's happening in my own backyard? And things are going pretty well there as well. So they're in this new position of being pulled emotionally by Wall Street and then seeing what's happening in China and saying, well, which is the real world here and which is the one that's more important and which is the future and which do we need to pay more attention to here? Well, you know my view on that, and I think you know, we're in a multipolar world now, and that the U.S. is not going to drag this whole system down. So I don't think this is a bear market, and it's a long way to get to that point. We need more technical evidence that markets have bottomed. We have very little evidence that markets have bottomed, although we do have some downside failures. We have some downside failures in Brazil that I just mentioned. I think also in Mexico, these markets had broken beneath some lows over the last couple of months but are not maintaining it. The S&P may have done that in here today, but it's not conclusive. We did have some downward acceleration last week. That is a short-term ending signal, potentially. But before we could give a all-clear signal with confidence, before I could do that at any rate, or Owen, you know, we would want to see some stability here in markets beyond a day or two. And for most of them, it's just one day, if that, in here today. And we would want to see some downside failures. We would want to see some upward dynamics. We would want to see some testing of lows that then held, and so on. Meanwhile, most of these stock market indices are still in overall upward trends. The ones that look ropey in terms of looking toppy, have the heavy weighting of banks, and Western banks, that is, or Japanese banks, so Japan and the Western markets that are dominated by banks and other financial companies. You could put Ireland in that group, you can put Italy in that group, you can put Switzerland in that group as well. Now, what about gold? Well, the thing that bugs so many of us is that it responds to moves in Wall Street as much as it responds to moves in the US dollar these days. And I think that's probably a function of the ETFs. And that may be the new permanent situation overall. I think it's cheap. I thought of buying some more in here today, but then I thought, well, buying back some of the gold that was stopped out at either break even or modest profits last week. But then I thought, I'm going on holiday on the 14th, and do I really need that, or will it be better just to enjoy my holiday and not have to worry about market positions? And common sense prevailed, and I said, no, I'll not add positions in here at this time, but I think that they're reasonably cheap in here, and that the overall patterns are consolidations, as I've said before, very lengthy medium-term consolidations prior to higher levels. I hope it doesn't all happen before I get back from holiday. And by the way, I don't leave until the 14th. I may have mentioned that before, but just repeat that again. And what else to mention? Crude oil, very strong. The surprise to me that is that natural gas has underperformed for so long, but this was a bit of an upward dynamic in here today. Soft commodities, so wheat was down a bit today. That wheat has been the strongest of the grain and bean complex by far recently. I think, incidentally, I've been saying that weather news was pretty good for most of the crops. Well, it certainly was in the Midwest, but I think that in the southern parts of the U.S., but in Texas, there's been much, much too much rain, and that has hit wheat there. But as I say, it was down in here today, and we get plenty of articles on food price inflation. It's coming, but fortunately not as rapidly as some people had feared. I say fortunately because that's even if you're invested in commodities, you're not wanting to see, well, few of us would want to see serious food price inflation, which would be a major problem and have implications far beyond foods. But I think that's pretty much it. Steadier day here in stock markets. I would not expect Asia to wilt on the back of this development tomorrow morning. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.